Hello and welcome to episode 94 of Three Peeps in a Podcast. My name is Patch and today I'm on another solo mission. I've just got back off of a mission to talk about kinesiology and alternative treatments with Lucy Goodwin in Emerson's Green. Today I'm joined by a close friend, Sarah Farmer. Say hello, Sarah.
Hello.
So Sarah, we want to talk about a couple of items really today. We have spent a number of New Years together, not just the two of us, just to make that clear, with our families. I'm quite fortunate that I've got a group of friends that I've known for some of them all my life. You know, we've got about 20, 25 years of time together, and we quite often in the latter years with family have spent New Year together.
Yes.
So New Year this year, we returned to Trwyddle Village, which is just outside St. Austell. So I want to just give those guys a bit of a shout out and talk a little bit about that. So first of all, I think it's the third time we've stayed there, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So it's the setup is villas or big houses, basically, all nice and modern, nice equipment. And it's just outside, I said, St. Austell, next to the Hotel Cornwall, which effectively I think is almost like the gateway to the rest of Cornwall. What is it, do you think, about Cornwall that we love so much? I mean, me, my family and your family go quite a bit,
yeah,
a bit further down to St. Ives and things like that. But what is it about Cornwall, do you think?
I think it's just, Cornwall to me is so picturesque, it's beautiful. My in-laws actually live in Cornwall as well, so it's quite nice for us that we get to go down quite often and, you know, have free accommodation and lovely home-cooked food.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think especially if you can get the weather right, there's nowhere more beautiful that you can be, really.
Yeah.
And some of the beaches like Porthgwydden and things like that, they're just picture perfect.
Mm, yeah, down St. Ives, it seems to have its own sort of microclimate then, sometimes,
yeah.
I find. It can be sunny one minute, raining the next, and it doesn't matter because there's, you know, so much to do down there.
Yeah.
But the beauty of for me, of Trwyddle Village is that it is sort of the gateway. We often go down on New Year's Eve to St. Yeah. Ives on the train, which is like a 50-minute ride, which,
yeah,
is just long enough with the kids. I think it gives them a bit of a sense of adventure, and also it's quite reasonable for us because it's cheap and you don't have to park.
Yeah.
Which is often a problem in St. Ives.
It is, yeah.
But the villas themselves, just explain to the listeners what, yeah, sort of the setup of the villas are.
Yeah. So we all always stayed in a four-bedroom one and shared with two families in one villa. They do smaller accommodation, but these ones are perfect for us. So it's a four-bedroomed villa. There's two bedrooms upstairs. One of the bedrooms upstairs is absolutely huge. You could fit two bedrooms in it, really,
yeah,
with an ensuite. And then downstairs, there's another two bedrooms. So you've got two doubles upstairs and a double and a single downstairs. And then a massive open plan living space. So you've got a lovely kitchen with all the mod cons, a huge dining table and a lovely living room area with a corner of sofa. So it's big enough to seat everybody in the villa. For me, it's just a home from home. It's modern, it's clean, it's spacious. Whereas when you're sharing with two families, you just don't get on top of each other at all. The kids run around and it's big enough for them to take all the toys. And for me, the cleanliness is five star. So, you know, you go down there, your towels are there for you, your bedding's lovely and clean. There's not, you know, you can't fault it at all.
Mm. And one of the favourite things for me is the heated floor.
Yeah, I know, I love it.
It's lovely to walk out into the kitchen in the morning and have a tiled heated floor.
Yeah.
And as you said, the space is such that if we're going down and we've got three or four villas,
yeah,
with six or seven families, we can just have the families round to one villa,
yeah,
to entertain on the evening. So on New Year's Eve, we had everyone round,
yeah,
our villa and had, you know, music and games and things like that. And
yeah,
I think some people were starting to flag by 10:30, 11 o'clock, and there was actually there was a vote to bring forward New Year by an hour, which got vetoed. But yeah, no, for New Year, for parties and things like that, it is great. And also there's a balcony as well, isn't there,
yeah,
on the ground floor that you can use for a bit of,
yeah,
a chill out area.
Yeah, I have thought actually how lovely it would be to go in the summer.
Yeah.
And you're amongst woodlands and it's all
walks,
spacious. There's a little park on site. And just going back to having us all in your villa on New Year's Eve, there was 27 of us,
yeah,
in one villa, and actually it worked perfectly.
Mm. And even the kids. So my one-year-old, we put him to bed around 10 o'clock in the next room to where the loud music was.
Yeah.
And they're just so tired. They just sleep.
They just sleep. And so you can't hear the noise that much. It is quite, you know, thick walls and stuff. So, it suits us perfectly.
Yeah, and even things like, you know, because it's self-catering, you need to take the shop in. So we just get Asda or Tesco or something to deliver to the villa for the hour we get there. So that's all sort of hassle-free.
Yeah.
Another thing about the location that I really like is it's next to the Hotel Cornwall, which is a 4 or 5-star hotel.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Just outside St. Austell, which is another place that we often go to on New Year's Day for lunch, and that's really nice, and they've got private dining and things like that.
They could accommodate all of us, kids menus, adult menus, a lovely bar, good range of drinks. We all had our own private room this time, didn't we? So the kids had one table and the adults had another, and we were in there for hours. One of our friends did a game and we were doing a quiz and things like that, and that was a bit of fun. And you can walk as well, which is good, so the kids took their scooters and we walked there. So, and also location-wise, literally 2 minutes up the road, there's a big Asda, a McDonald's. So if you For all the things you forget, so you can drive out and within 2 minutes, you can. There's loads of places you can go grab I think it's a Starbucks there.
Yeah, I mean, as I say, lots of mod cons around, and you've got Foy just up the road, Mevagissey down the other way, so nice little fishing villages for people to visit and have a wander around. And what I also like is the guys down there that run these places are on hand all the time, more or less 24/7. If there's a problem, you had a problem with a leak or something, didn't you, that they reacted to quite quickly?
They were out instantly, and that was on New Year's Day.
Yeah.
And then also on New Year's Day, the guy came out because I think one of the kids had been playing with the, not Skybox, but the Freeview box.
And
we couldn't put telly on New Year's Eve, and we decided to stay and have a takeaway and have a drink. And he came out and brought us another box, like, instantly, and we had a chat with him, and he even recommended takeaways.
Right.
And
New Year's Day.
That was New Year's Day, and it just wasn't a problem for him at all. So the service is, you can't fault it.
Brilliant. Okay, so that is Trewhiddle Villages, just outside St. Austell. Do look them up, and don't take our space at New Year.
Yeah, and we'll see you there.
Exactly. As I said, we've tried a few different places, and we always seem to go back to that. I think it's the third time we've stayed there. And you know, it's fairly reasonable in terms of cost. Comes with our high recommendation. So the other reason we've got Sarah on today is Sarah's gone through a bit of a career change in recent years. You worked at Matthew Clark, which is like a wholesaler, isn't it?
A drinks wholesaler,
which obviously has its benefits. As a training and quality manager. And you were there about 23 years, weren't you? So how did that progress through those 23 years?
So I started, obviously, when I was two. I always tell that joke. I started with the company when I was 17. And I was only going to do a temporary summer contract whilst I was in between college courses. So I did my first year, and I was going on to do my advanced year. Started as a temp. And then at the end of the summer holidays, they offered me a role. And by then, I'd been used to earning a little bit more money than I was doing part-time jobs around college. So I stayed. And then I never left, basically. Just through the years, I progressed in I didn't do the same role all the time. I started in the contact centre on the phones and worked my way up to team leader. And then I was an operations manager for about 10 years. And then I had the kids and didn't want to go back full time. So I was very lucky that they created a role for me. So I was a training and quality manager for 6 years. So my team looked after all of the recruitment, all of the training, and all of the coaching aspects of the contact centre. About 150
seat. So training up the colleagues to make sure they're at the right level skill-wise.
So to help
you design the courses as well?
Yeah, we designed the courses ourselves. I had two people on my team that were trainers. And between us, we designed the courses to help the guys with customer service. Sales was a big thing as well, so trying to help them with their sales. And the coaching side of it was to listen to calls with them and maybe give them tips on how they could improve their sales, their customer service.
So was the training sort of classroom-based, e-learning, or a blend of all that?
Mostly classroom-based, right. And the coaching was mostly one-to-one.
Got it, okay.
So, yeah, so it was a really interesting role, and I was very lucky that they created that role for me. And then back last July, because obviously companies... have to look at new things and making money. I got made redundant, which actually for me was not a bad thing because I had thought...
You had some ideas in the background. And
yeah, so as much as I miss, you know, the people...
It's forced your hand a little
bit. It's forced my hand,
So tell us a little bit about... It's on the lines of fashion. And over the last sort of year, you've got a good following going on your Instagram account, which is My Style Memoirs.
Yeah.
Lots of nice pictures of you stood against a wall or a background, a backdrop. Tell us how, where your sort of passion for fashion.
Passion for fashion. Maybe that's why I should be called.
New name.
My new business name.
Stop press.
It's something I've always had an interest in, even when I was younger. I've always loved going shopping, as does your lovely wife.
Yes, indeed, yeah.
So I've always loved going shopping, choosing outfits, looking at fashion magazines, watching fashion shows, big fan of GOK and people like that when I was younger. But back in the day, I suppose it wasn't necessarily seen as something to do as a career. So I just always kind of enjoyed it on the sidelines.
Yeah.
But I think over the recent years, probably maybe 10 years, it's become quite a big thing, you know, with Instagram and Pinterest and all things like that.
Yep.
And actually there is a calling now for personal stylists. So I turned 40 last April.
No,
so
you didn't.
I know. I look 50. No. As I was coming up to 40, I thought, right, for me, if I don't do something now that I want to do like that, then I'll never do it. It's never too late to do anything. But for me, I thought it's now or never. So I went on a workshop at Kilver Court with a personal stylist, and there was a group of us. I met a lovely lady there who is on Instagram called My Fashionable 40s. She's now called Curating MI. And I got chatting to her about what I wanted to do, and she put me in touch with a company called The Image Consulting Company, and they do personal styling courses. So I enrolled last March to do my training, and I haven't looked back. It's the best thing for me that I've ever done. So I got made redundant in July, decided to take time off with the kids, to spend the summer holidays with the kids. And now, the last couple of months, I've been looking to promote my own business, really. Right. So that's where I'm at.
Tell us a bit more about the course. What sort of things did they teach you or guide you on?
Yeah, so they train you on how to do a wardrobe consultation, so that I can go round to someone's home and go through their wardrobe and shop your wardrobe, basically. So you don't have to go out and buy everything new. You've probably got a lot of it already in your wardrobe. So I would spend time with a client going through their wardrobe, putting outfits together. Most items in your wardrobe you can make 3 or 4 outfits out of. So we would do that. We'd put outfits together, then we'd make a pile for potentially the charity shop or to eBay, a pile to maybe put away for the summer months or winter months, and then you'd have this collection, like a capsule wardrobe, that you can mix and match to put loads of outfits together. And then if there is things missing from your wardrobe, then you can go out with a list, and you're not just buying random stuff.
Yeah, so it's as much as talking to people about what's available out there as what they've got already.
Yes.
So it's a bit of a recycling job,
it
almost.
Is. Yeah, and actually it can save you money, because instead of going out and buying another black dress or another green skirt, you've probably already got one in your wardrobe that you just might not know what tops or belts or shoes to put it with.
Yeah. So in the fashion world, I think things just come back around, don't they?
Yeah.
So that's obviously part of the principle there.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, there might be things that you think, well, I'm not going to wear this again because I just don't know what to put it with, and I've had it 5 years.
Yeah.
But actually, some of my favourite items I've actually had in my wardrobe for years. And you don't have to buy expensive, but if you sometimes invest in key pieces like a coat, shoes, and nice pair of jeans, then they'll last you a long time. So
what's is it mainly female focused, or are you looking at doing this for males as well?
Long term, yeah. At the moment, it is just female focused, but a few of my colleagues do men's styling as well. And the company that I trained with actually are starting to run a men's styling course as well, which I would hope to do in the future. But because I haven't been doing it a huge amount of time, I want to kind of, you know, get my ground in. The other thing I was trained on is colour consultations, so I can do colour consultations with people and tell them which colours make them look warmer, younger, brighten their skin.
Is that complementary to their sort of hair eye colour, skin
hair,
tone,
eye colour, lip colour, all those different types of things? And actually, having it done myself, it's really surprising how a different tone of pink, for example, or a different tone of blue can really change your face. And then the third element is personal shopping. So once, you know, you don't have to have all three, but you know, you can just have one of them. But if you wanted to have a wardrobe and colour consultation, and then we can go out shopping to pick the new items that you might need for an occasion or your wardrobe. So. Yeah,
well, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, it's my it's my dream job.
Yeah, spending other people's money. Yeah, I'm sure it is. I mean, it is obviously, you know, it's a new industry, as you said, style. Obviously, that over the past 10 years, I think the TV's been, you know, people like Gokwan and that, it's really interesting. But in terms of your next steps, obviously you've come up with a new name for your business, so SJF Styling.
Yeah, SJF Styling, so your initials.
Yeah. What's your sort of next 6 months look like? Have you thought about what comes next?
Yeah, so it's just about promoting, because I think with what I want to do, a lot of it is word of mouth and reputation. So I'm going to, the next couple of months, I'm going to be looking to, I'm just in the process of starting a new business page on Facebook, rebranding. My brother-in-law's doing me some rebranding. The website will follow shortly. I've done a couple of friends as clients. I've done a couple of clients. So hopefully now word of mouth will start to spread. And I'm also going to do some colour consultation parties where I'm going to book maybe a group of 5 to 6 ladies, and they can have a small colour consultation, not the full thing, because it can take up to a couple of hours. And then hopefully, you know, I might generate business through that as well.
Yeah.
I think for me, it's important. One of the reasons I'm doing this is to empower women, because after having kids, I did lose my sense of style a little bit. You know, I didn't wear my nice clothes because I was going to get baby sick on them or baby food. And, you know, you've put on a bit of extra weight and your body shapes change. So for me, it's all about making women feel confident in their clothes, no matter what age, shape, size they are. You know, it's surprising what an outfit can do to the way you feel and your mood. So part of it is about that for me as well.
Brilliant. Okay. So building the business basically over the next 6 months, getting things out there, Facebook page, etc.
Yeah.
Are you looking for almost guinea pigs to help with this? And is there like a shout there for people if they want to get in touch with you to
Try absolutely. That? I've advertised some sort of low rates to start with, because I want to
build up a portfolio.
So if anybody's interested, then they can drop me a message.
And your Instagram account, obviously, that you've got quite a good following on that now. And obviously you're going to change your name, but what, you know, explain for people who haven't seen your Instagram account your sort of approach to that. Do you sort of, is it your clothes, or is it stuff that you've bought from somewhere that you want to just show what goes well and all that sort of stuff?
It's all my clothes at the moment. So I don't, there's a lot of stylists on Instagram, which I will do eventually, that go into changing rooms and do try-ons and things like that. I haven't got to that stage yet. So it's all my own clothes.
How does that work with the place where you're trying it on? Do they sort of know you're doing it, or... It's in their interest.
So it is promoting their clothes.
Book an appointment, or
I don't think so. I think when you're doing a personal styling session, I would always let the shop know in advance that I'm coming, and a lot of shops are kind enough to give you a clothes route, so you can get the clothes ready for the client, so you're not wasting time picking the clothes when they're there. You can do it beforehand. But I think it's just so common these days of people going in and doing try-ons that the shops are used to it. It's promoting their clothes, so actually it's good business for them. Sorry, what was the original question?
Going into shops. Was it your own clothes that you were styling on the
that's
pictures?
That's right, sorry, yeah. Like it's my own clothes on the pictures, and I've been doing it just over a year now. And I did it to try and find, originally, just to try and find my sense of style again.
Yeah.
And as much as I feel like a complete wally every time I have a picture taken, and my husband takes a lot of the shots, I'm like, hurry up, people are coming. So I'm never comfortable having the pictures taken. For me, it's just about building a portfolio of clothes, and so that people can look at my Instagram page or my Facebook page and say, oh, actually, I like
that. And you'll detail it. You'll say, like, this skirt from Zara, this dress from wherever, so that people know, you know, where it's come from.
Exactly. And it's really nice. A lot of friends have said to me, oh, I've gone out and I've now bought a skirt and worn it with trainers because I like the style that you promoted on Instagram. So I get a real
good. And over the last few years as well, I think there's been a sort of change in style. I'm talking from a male perspective.
Yeah.
In work, 10 years ago, it was suit, tie, shirt, shoes, shiny shoes.
Yeah.
And over the last, that 10-year gap, it's gone so casual now. It's like dress for the day. So unless you're meeting someone important or a client or something like that, it's whatever you feel comfortable in.
Yeah.
How does that translate in terms of women and the way women dress?
Yeah, I think it depends on sort of what your style personality is. Mm. So with clients, we can do a style personality to they can answer some questions to see kind of where they feel comfortable. So part of my job is to make women feel comfortable and confident in what they wear, but also maybe to step outside the box and wear something they haven't worn before.
Mm.
So I'm quite, when I'm in the office environment, I do like a corporate look, but when I'm at home with the kids, I like a very casual look. But I do put elements of my corporate style into that. So I might wear a long skirt with a blazer, for example, but with trainers.
Mm.
So when you go into an office environment these days, you will see women in suits, but you will also see women who look just as lovely in a jumper and some pleather trousers with a pair of heels or something like that. So
I've seen women with almost suits on, but with trainers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like Converse shoes and things like that, which if you saw that 10 years ago, you'd be like, oh my God.
What is that? Yeah, whereas I love that type of look. I love a suit, and I like mixing that tailored look with casual.
Mm. What do you think's sort of caused that? I'm just trying to think of the sort of how that's happened.
Yeah.
I don't quite know. Is it something in the industry or attitudes to life? I don't know. Do you think social media has a big impact
on it? Because I think this day and age, people look at, celebrities and what they're wearing, and that the high street stores will then create things that are like the designer.
So if David Beckham decides he's going to wear a suit with trainers, then that becomes acceptable.
Exactly. It's true, though, isn't it? It only takes a few people to think, well, actually, that means that David Beckham wore a sarong and men started wearing sarongs, So I'm not saying that's for everybody, but, it does have a massive impact. Mm. And with that, we have got a responsibility because, fast fashion is an issue, sustainability. So that's why with the wardrobe consultations, it's a good thing to do. I've got.
What do you mean by fast fashion? That things go out of fashion quite quickly?
Fast fashion, as in, people end up buying lots of stuff and it ends up in landfill.
Right.
So it has an impact on the environment. Right. So there's obviously rightfully so, a big thing about being environmentally friendly with fashion, which is why booking a personal stylist can actually save you money because you've probably got a lot of it in your wardrobe.
Yeah.
And putting it in the charity shops and eBay and things like that. I've got a couple of fellow stylists that do clothes swaps and things like that. There's actually one coming up with a fellow stylist called Becky Barnes next week.
Wow.
Where women can take along their clothes and go and swap clothes. So actually you're getting new clothes, but they're not.
So you swap it for good.
You swap it for good. So you might take 5 items and you'll come away with 5 different items. So you've got 5 new items in, for you, but actually it's being recycled.
But if one is a Dolce & Gabbana dress and the other one's a Primark dress, how does that work?
Well, I suppose it depends on whether, it may have been a very sought-after Primark dress or a very sought-after Zara dress. So I suppose you've both got to be comfortable with the swap.
Yeah, and I guess everyone's got a varying range of wealth and ability and to spend money on clothes. Do you factor that in? Do you say, what's your sort of budget?
Yeah.
Look at the sort of brands they've got and match them with existing ones? That
sort of thing? So I would say, what's your budget? And then we can decide where we shop. Mm. I love the high street myself, so I'm comfortable in the high street.
Mm.
But I also like the odd bit, I'm surplus money to go and buy and shop in Harvey Nicks every week. Mm. But, I've got the odd thing where I've invested in, a lovely pair of shoes or a nice coat.
And if you're
going to
get more wear out of it and things like that.
Yeah.
Because there is an attitude that I've just observing from a male perspective that once a dress has been worn once, it might just go in the cupboard and not come out for another 5 years, mentioning no names.
Yeah, but yeah, but I think that's what a lot of women do. And actually, I think celebrities these days, you know, if you look at someone like, you look at the royal family, look at Kate Middleton, for example, she's rewearing things, which actually generates more people thinking, actually, it's okay to rewear things. And I think you can mix and match so much. You know, I might wear a maxi dress to an evening wedding do with a pair of heels and a belt, whereas, and I also might wear it to the shops with a big baggy jumper and a pair of trainers. So I'm all for everything you wear, maybe getting at least 10, 15 wears out of it, because you can make it look like a different outfit. And actually, if you do wear it again, for me, it's like, kind of, who cares? I want to wear this nice dress again. I've spent a lot of money on it, or I just really like it.
Yeah. The other thing, obviously, on top of that is the accessories that go with these dresses.
Yeah.
Like, it has to be a new pair of shoes, new handbag, etc. For weddings, you know, the fascinators, all that sort of thing. Is that still something, or is it some, with the fact that we mismatch shoots with Converse shoes, is that as important these days?
I don't think so. Back years ago, I was quite matchy with my stuff, so I might wear pink shoes with a pink handbag, and whereas I'm probably gone the opposite now. I think that's an age thing. I quite like wearing a pair of leopard print shoes with stripes or check.
Right.
I love clashing prints, and I think you can get away with anything you want these days. I think if you're comfortable in your clothes, then that's what should matter. If you feel nice, then for me, it's about how you feel, not how others, you know, perceive you. And I know we all like to feel nice and look nice, but if you're confident in your clothes, then you'll look confident in your clothes.
And how important do you think, like, brands are? Obviously, we've spoken about the varying range of cost of clothes.
Yeah.
How important do you think the brands are? Because I mean, I've been to, like, Bicester Village, and there's all the very high end brands there, and a dress could be like 500 quid or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah.
You know, equally, there's copycat brands and things like that in your Primark and that sort of thing. How important do you think the actual brand is in terms of quality and, you know, the fact that you see a Ralph Lauren logo on something?
Yeah. I think it depends on the individual. I'm not a one that's got lots of designer stuff in my wardrobe, and I'm not doubting the quality, you know, is great on some of the but actually you can get really good quality items in the high street as well. You know, John Lewis and Marks and Spencer's and things like that, really, really good quality. You've got jumpers from Marks and Spencer's that I've washed and washed, and they've worn so well. So it depends on your budget, the person you are. But I think this day and age, people tend to not need to spend as much money on clothes because you can get really good quality, very similar items in the high street.
How about online shopping and the impact that's had on the high street? Is it something that you rather touch and feel, or do you have a blend of both?
I do. I tend to like going into the shops, because I like to try on. And again, if you talk about sustainability, sometimes with the online stuff, you know, it's all the packaging and everything that comes with it. But, you know, it is a very, very big industry. You know, if you've got a real, you know, job that takes you away all hours and you haven't got time to go to the shops, then yeah, online is very important.
Or small children.
I've always loved going into the shops. And there's some really good charity shops out there these days as well. You know, I know my mum's always been a huge fan of charity shops.
Yeah.
And I think that's coming back in more and more now. Vintage and reusing and stuff like that.
And the high street seems to be, you know, equally as full of charity shops as it is.
Exactly.
Cantor High Street, I think there's quite a few and things like that.
Yeah.
And you can actually find some really good, hardly worn stuff in there.
Brand new with labels. I took some stuff up to the charity shop the other week, and I would say at least 6 items that were in the bag for mine and the kids' wardrobes had labels on them.
Wow.
So
love you.
it can be, you know, a really good place to buy clothes.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think mainly go on ASOS, because there's a blend of the ASOS sort of cheaper stuff.
Yeah.
And you can also get some really good deals on Ralph Lauren and some of the other makes, I think.
Yeah.
And I think the pain comes when it doesn't fit and you have to send it back.
Yeah.
Which they do try and make much easier for
they
you
do,
than it used to be.
And things like that, yeah.
Yeah, but it's.
I don't think you can beat going into a shop and, no. and trying it on, and you know, then you get to see the full range, and you know, and I think changing room mirrors are great. I always look better in a changing room mirror.
The lighting's all perfect.
Yeah,
and
yeah, but I do like to go into a shop because a lot of times as well you see things, and actually when it comes through online, it's not what you thought it was going to be. You know, so I am a big fan of going into shops and buying, and I enjoy it. That's you know, I would just go window shop for half a day a week, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's a release as well. Being a parent, it's nice to just get out and focus on something completely different.
Yeah, going and
having my release and your husband's release is going and playing football or watching football, something like that. So I can understand that you get that sort of release and watching that from you know, going shopping and doing that sort of thing.
Yeah, Chris might say to me, "You're going to the mall again." And I'm like, but that's my equivalent to you going to play sport. You know, I'll just pop down there for 2 hours, I'll have a quick coffee with a friend and then, you know, have a look in a couple of shops, and that's my, you know, I enjoy doing that. And so the fact that I can get to do it as a job, you know, personal styling for me should be like going shopping with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I try and make it that experience like.
Brilliant. Well, it's very exciting. And as you say, doing something you love and having that passion means you'll get up on a Monday morning and can't wait to get to work, which not everyone can say.
No, and I do feel, you know, very fortunate. You know, I hope it works out, because for me this is, you know, is the best
longevity
job I could possibly do. Yeah.
Brilliant. So we've talked about the next 6 months. Anything that immediately coming up that you, any sort of events you've got coming up or things like that?
So I'm just looking at booking a couple of colour consultation parties. I'm in talks with a friend who is a hairdresser and works in a lovely salon in St George, and we said about doing a styling night as well.
Okay.
So maybe a bit of style, a bit of Prosecco, and then a bit of sort of getting your hair put up for free thrown in as well. So so I will put all the information on my Facebook and Instagram pages.
So you're gonna have Facebook as well?
I'm good. Yeah. Okay. So the Facebook page is imminent.
Yeah.
And the Instagram page is already set up.
Yeah.
And then the website will follow within the next month or so.
Cool. So I mean, in the episode notes of this podcast we'll have links to all of that, so brilliant. If people want to get in touch and have a consultation, they can. And
just a chat. There's no obligation. If you just want to message me and I can give you a ring, there's no obligation. I can just talk you through what I do and how it could work for you.
In terms of geography wise, how far away do you think you're gonna be able to sort of spread your net in terms of customers, colleagues?
I mean the best area for me is obviously Bristol and Bath. But you know, if I had somebody that was a little bit further afield, that I would be willing to discuss that with them, depending on where they were.
I guess you could do it almost virtually as well, you know.
You can,
FaceTime and things like that. Then if you actually want to go shopping, then go from there. But
exactly. Yeah, that is something I will bring in eventually if people, you know, want to do a virtual shopping experience.
Yeah.
And that is possible. So that could be an option for the future as well.
The future is here.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, well, thanks for joining us. And again, just to say, you know, check out Trevettle Village down in St Austell, and also check out Sarah's pages.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Patch.